I decided that I'm going to be in charge of what happens to me moving forward. There's mm-hmm. always going to be an element of chaos that you can't account for, but you can at least point your compass in a direction and march that way.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. All right, my friends, it's the day. Today's the day. It is the day of all days. It is the Christoph Lewis Podcast, and this is guest number 100, conversation number 100, and I am so excited that you are here with me today. I cannot believe it. My guest today is the one and only Daniel Sharp. He's a comedian, and he was a former Marine, and he was in Iraq and Afghanistan as well, and he's the host of the Smoke Pit Podcast. He's in a lot of crazy shit and a lot of fun shit, and I caught him right before he headed out to Area 51 to catch all that madness. I wanted to take this time to say thank you so much for listening. This is all about helping each other out, finding yourself, pursuing what you want to do in life, knowing that there's going to be obstacles in life, knowing that you can get over those obstacles, help other people get over those obstacles, learn from each other, continue learning, just be relentless about wanting to have a growth mindset and help each other grow and get through this life. I appreciate it so very much that you take the time to listen to this and share it. Rate on iTunes, all that stuff. It means so much to me. I pour my heart and soul into this. It's about 160 episodes now, so thank you so much for all your support, and I really can't thank you enough. Know that you can find this episode of the Conversations with Contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast. You can find me on Instagram at christophlewis. So without further ado, welcome to the 100th guest of the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Pleasure to be here,
man. I'm at a loss for words. We're at 100 guests right now, and you're 100th guest. It's so cool.
Yeah, congratulations, man. That's an amazing feat.
Yeah, thank you. It's like I was saying, when I started, and even my wife asked me before I did this, I had no idea it was going to go this far. I just wanted to do a podcast, wanted to help myself, wanted to help other people, and I had no idea where it was going to go. So here we are. So pretty cool. And you are an Iraq and Afghan vet yourself. I've been over to the Afghanistan parts a little bit myself, so, and you're also a podcast host as well, which I thought was pretty cool. So when I reached out to you, I saw all this, and I was like, this guy's going to be great, because you podcast host as well, and you're a vet, and I want it to be very special and to be another vet with me, so thank you.
Well, that's a lot of pressure. I try to save all my funny and all my social interaction for the 1 hour a week that we record, and I kind of retreat back to my cave.
Please.
And yeah, just play NBA 2K by myself and order DoorDash.
That is awesome. Well, on the same side over here, like, I've literally never had a beer on the show, and I cracked a beer. I'm not going to lie and tell you what it is, so I'm not going to tell you anything about it, but it's a little celebratory beer today, so just really excited, man. I want to know more about, like, you know, I want to kind of go off key a little bit, like I was saying. Typically, I follow to kind of like an outline a little bit, talking about career transitions and other stuff. But I want to learn a little bit more about you, man, and why and how are you doing all the things that you're doing, what you're doing now? Like, how did you get into podcasting? I kind of want to start into that.
Well, it kind of went from the idea that I was creating a lot of content online, and I wasn't able to express everything that I wanted to, because like in a meme or like a video skit or something like that, you only have a finite amount of time to be able to express your intent and accomplish a purpose. One of the rules of comedy is that you're trying to accomplish something, whether that is be unexpected, surprise your audience, make commentary on something in a humorous way, but you're trying to accomplish a mission. And I just remembered that one of the best parts of being in the military was just sitting around with your buddies, like whether you're on your packs waiting for the 7 tons to show up, or, you know, if you're in the smoke pit, and then we just want to kind of recreate that atmosphere.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And that's totally right. Like, I know when I was on deployments, like, there's some of those days that just absolutely drag and you're waiting for shit to go down. And you're just bullshitting with people. Or after we'd go out for a night and we'd come back and I'd be thankful to be back. And you're just like, just bullshitting, having a good time. And I think that's when some of the fun stuff comes out. So it's funny that you named it the Smoke Pit. Totally makes sense now.
Yeah, we've actually seen like six other Smoke Pit podcasts pop up after ours.
Those motherfuckers.
I mean, it's all good. The it's a shared experience. You know, I just feel that, you know, we do it a little bit better than some other people. And my old regiment, that my first unit when I got to the Marine Corps, their Smoke Pit is actually listed on Google Maps. And people leave like humorous reviews. Okay. And there was a big confusion whether or not it was an actual bar and grill or it was just, you know, gazebo that a bunch of Marines, you know, were at. And so it's just kind of like just the culture that that the military brings is that, you know, the idea of taking an inanimate object, but then also making it a source of humor.
But you guys are like the OG, you know, like you're the original. So, I mean, you have to have your own flavor that nobody can replicate.
Yeah, it's a good time. We try to keep it a little bit faster pace, a lot of banter, a lot of roasting, stories just crazy enough that they might be real. And that's kind of the essence that we wanted to capture. And because there's a lot of guys who were in BFE, Iowa or Montana or, you know, Everglades, and you know, they're not near a large military community. They don't have the Silkies hikes or you know, the veteran gatherings like Burbiz or stuff like that, where they can go and be around hundreds and thousands of other veterans. Like, the only vet that they have is their crazy uncle, you know, who is, you know, still sleeps under the porch after Nam.
Yeah, that's some scary shit though. How did you get into like the comedy aspect to all of this? Like, what drove you from that? Like, has that always been kind of your personality, I'm guessing? Or like, when did you get into that?
Yeah, I think that any person who is in comedy, they have some deep seated pain or trauma that they're trying to mask to the world. And, you know, so it started at a young age and it was just kind of a coping mechanism, and just to be able to take that and, bundle it up and then put it in a way that's relatable to other people. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the goal.
What do you do mostly right now? Are you just a comedian? What are you doing?
Well, I own a small business that I'm in the process of selling. I ran it for about 3 years. The idea was to have a company that did blue collar manual labor, but only hired veterans and their family members. So if that veteran themselves, they weren't able to work, you know, to like do the manual labor, then I try to find some other aspect where they were doing email marketing campaigns for me, or if they could walk the handing out flyers or door hangers. Yeah. And so in 3 years, I was able to hire about 30 veterans, help them transition to their next point, because you get out of the military and it's just like, well, I didn't really plan for this, because, you know, most people in SEPs and TAPs are there within 30 days of getting out, which is horrid. And so they, you know, they didn't realize that an application took as long as it did, or admission to school, or they'd have to wait a month or two to get a boat space in a school. So they can't exactly go to, you know, the hardware store and be like, oh, I need a job for 4 months, or I need a job for 6 weeks. And if they're in the process of working some other aspect, like, they need flexible employment. And that's what I offered, to be able to hire these guys so they could transition into the next aspect of their life. Because sometimes, you know, making 40, 50 bucks in the day is the difference between, you know, buying groceries for the week for your family.
Sure.
And sometimes people's success or failure can really just, you know, just hang on a couple $100, whether they're able to give themselves the opportunity to leap for their dreams, or if they have to buckle down to that, you know, retail job or that gas station job, because with their family, you know, you're a father, you understand priorities. It's just like, sometimes you just have to make a call, like, do my dreams matter, or do feeding my family matters? Yeah. And so this job, this business was basically to be a little bit of a bridgeway. And I found another veteran who is going to be a good shepherd of it, and he's going to keep it running. And then I'm going to go into social media full time.
Man, that is awesome. That's I love the transitioning things. Obviously, that's what I focus on. I'm huge about like create your career. And to me, like, that was one of the craziest things. When I first got in the military, again, like with this podcast episode, I had no idea how long podcast episodes were going to go. I had no idea how long I was going to stay in the military. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Like, I was at a point in my life when I just needed some structure, and the military gave me that. And then, like, when you leave that structure, it's freaking scary, you know? So I felt that in myself, and I thought I was a pretty organized person, and I was still pretty intimidated by this transition out of the military. So I was like, if I'm feeling this, and then I started getting into leadership positions, and I started seeing people get out and that didn't really have a plan. So I knew that if I'm experiencing it and I'm seeing other people experiencing it, then I need to go out there and I need to have these kind of conversations like we're having and try to educate people and at least maybe get them ready earlier and help them understand that there are like other programs out here too, like the stuff that you're doing.
Yeah. And it kind of came into the decision where I had to ask myself, what did I want my future to look like? When you join the military, it's kind of a water slide where you get in and the unit you get sent to, sometimes the job that you get, the base you get stationed, even down to the squad you get put in, is so randomized that, you know, if you think about like the alternate universe, Rick and Morty kind of parallel timeline, Spider-Verse kind of thing, however you want to wrap your head around it. But, you know, if I had walked into the recruiter's office a day earlier or a day later, or if somebody hadn't, you know, broken ankle, or if, you know, somebody hadn't been killed in that theater, and, you know, it trickles down to where does this one piece of meat, this one human being end up in the Plinko board, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, there would have been, you know, thousands of different, you know, if not millions of different experiences I could have had in the military. Mm-hmm. I could have joined any of the branches. I could have joined the French Foreign Legion. You know, I could have got out after my first enlistment. I could have moved. You know, the career planner could have sent me anywhere, but just somehow this happened to be my life and my existence. And I didn't really have much control of that. And then, so getting out of the military, I decided that I'm going to be in charge of what happens to me moving forward. There's always going to be an element of chaos that you can't account for, but you can at least point your compass in a direction and march that way.
Yeah, that's, I had a similar, so I was an electronics technician, and in the Navy, as electronic technicians, there's electronic technicians, there's fire control man, and above that, it's like this field of AECF or advanced control, advanced electronics computer field. Essentially, what it means is that some random entity picks, you're going to be an ET or you're going to be an FC. And I always wanted to be the FC. And by some grace of God, I was an ET. And that actually allowed for me to go serve in Naval Special Warfare. FCs can't do that. So that's like nothing that totally resonates with me, because that's nothing I decided. There was some stroke of luck. And then I had an insanely fun career, a challenging career. And I was able to do the things now and set myself up for success post-military because of those experiences, all based on some number that I have no idea about, that somebody is like, you should be an ET because we need some ETs, like you're saying. But it's cool to say or hear you say that you've transitioned to this sense of saying, I'm in charge. You know, like I want to be able to run what's going on now.
Yeah, because in the military, they always tell you to shape the battlefield to your will. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not at an advantage against your enemy, then you fail to plan. Mm-hmm. And I really took that to heart. And I was like, you know, this life is simple. If you're a good person and you can pay your bills, you can pretty much do whatever you want. And especially with, you know, this country being as beautifully flawed as it is, you can take advantage of that. And so between the disability and the business and being able to hire a manager, like I've been able to travel and go to all these veteran nonprofit events and just do all these amazing things that I never would have expected as an E3.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about that, like somebody shows you where, tells you where to be, what to wear, what to do, how to show up, but they still want you to take initiative somehow. And, you know, it's like, it's so structured. And then it's like a rescue animal being released into the wild. And like, yeah, sure, I'm supposed to know how to be a good penguin, but I don't know what the ocean looks like. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to do my research. I am going to prepare myself just like I would have before a mission.
Yeah.
And I found that there was a nice little niche that I could exploit and to have a comfortable life.
That's awesome, though. But you did your due diligence. It sounds like you really like looked into some things and you made a life that you wanted to live. And like you said, do whatever you want and be able to go out there and just own it, be in charge. But I think it's awesome that like, we live in a time, like you said, and we live in a country where you can do that. You do have those opportunities. Sure, it has its flaws, but it has so many pros as well. Like, you're able to do this. We're able to have this conversation. You're able to go and be like, I want to go to social media full time. Like, That's insane to me that you can do that, and you're obviously good at it, and I think it's incredible that you're able to do something that you love like that, and then furthermore, do all the things that you said and help people and educate people at the same time.
Yeah, because what I figured is that I didn't expect to make it past 18, and so everything now is just borrowed time. And there was an episode that you talked about tithing, and I'm not a very rich man, and the money that I do have, I spend on women and food, and so I figured the most precious quantity I have in this world is time, and so if I could donate at least 10% of my time every day or every week to helping other human beings, particularly veterans, then that was my way of earning my rent here on this planet.
I love that. I really love that. It's something I need to do more of. Absolutely. I need to give back more. And I guess I do it or try to do it as best as I can through this podcast. I don't necessarily do it like monetarily, but I know that if I'm not with my family, like I was telling you before we recorded, if I'm not with my family or if I'm not at my day job because I still got to work, like it's podcast things. It's doing things like this. And I do it, you know, it costs lots of money to do. So
yeah, the equipment, the editing, the sanity.
Their time, man. Your time, you know?
The random 2-star review that makes no sense and you pull your hair out.
Don't even get me started. I'm just like focusing in on it. My wife's like, "You're crazy." That might have been a Freudian slip right there, but my wife is like, "You need to stop freaking out about that kind of stuff right there." And you know, when you put your heart and your soul into things like that, like even the tiniest little, somebody's probably just going out there to intentionally interject themselves and be a dick. You know, it's like they probably don't think it's 2 stars or 1 star. They're just like, "This is funny."
I was thinking about planning a trip out to Easter Island, and I was looking at it, and I noticed that there was reviews on it on Google. So I said, "Well, this should be fun." And there are a plethora of 1-star reviews saying that no Easter Bunny was in sight. And so you take something like Easter Island, where it's a marvel of you know, the human will to be able to create those pieces of art and the statues and out in the middle of nowhere, and just the chance that we happen to find the island and study it, and then, you know, you have some jerk off from New Jersey or wherever.
Definitely New Jersey.
Kidding. Yeah, no, I'm just teasing you. But I heard you say you were from there. I'm from Florida, so I don't have much room to speak. But you know, some jerk is, you know, leaving it a 1-star review, and it's like, really, like that's the best thing you could have done with your time. You know, that's how you feel about life. Okay.
The answer is yes. I was born in Jersey, moved to Colorado. Now here I am in Virginia, and I'm in DC, like I was telling you, and I don't really like it. So I cannot wait to get back down to Virginia Beach. I just did a live this week, and I released to the world that talking about like doing whatever you want. This is the first major job that I had outside the military. I spent a long time trying to get this job, and I just quit it. And we're moving back down there to do things that I'd rather do and to be near family. So that totally resonates with me, being able to go after what you want.
Brother man, that's like spending months and months trying to get that one girl from S1's attention, you know, because she's hot and everybody wants her. And then you finally get on a date with her and you're like, man, like this is not what it was cracked up to be.
Yeah, man. Such is and life sometimes, though.
God. It's like that. Leonard Nimoy had said, having is not such a pleasing thing as wanting. It's highly illogical, but often true. So I liken that to the idea of getting a Christmas present. You know, you spent months asking your mom and dad for it, and you finally get it. You play with it for 20 minutes, and then it's like, all right, I'm going to go back to beating up my brother or my sister, you know? And you spend so much time fixated on the idea of something rather than the actual prospect. And so I try to tell people who ask me for advice, I was like, look, man, getting out of the military isn't such a holy grail as you think it is. Like, you shouldn't be afraid of it. By no means am I saying you should stay in the military, but look before you leap. You know, the military is a safe place because you get paid every 1st and 15th. As long as you don't do anything against the UCMJ, which isn't terribly hard, you're going to be fine and you're going to have steady employment and benefits for you and yours for years. But then people get this idea that being out of the military is so magical, and like, no, it's rough out here. You know, if you don't pay your bills, you get evicted. You know, if you don't pay taxes, you know, the government comes after you. You know, you may not have the same community, you know, the nostalgia of being with your buddies, but at the same time, that's only if you don't prepare and if you don't work hard.
Yeah.
So if you do those things, it can be a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
So it's not just enough to get out of the military, but to be able to angle yourself at a certain trajectory that you will be successful. Mm. That's what I encourage people to do, because, you know, they say the grass is always greener on the other side. And it's the same thing with that. Like, yes, your wildest dreams are on the other side, whether you want to stay in and continue to serve or get out. But either way, you have to plan and you have to have realistic expectations.
Yeah, planning is huge. I've always been like that. Like, I like, from the surface, like from the outside, if you're looking in on my life, you'd be like, damn, that dude risks a lot of shit all the time. Like, how could he quit that job? How could he leave the Navy? Like, he was doing so well or whatever. And from the inside, I'm like, I've done all this preparation. I've for months, for years. Like, I got out in 18. I started preparing for it in December of 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looks like I've just, it's like that overnight success spiel that you always see. Like, it looks like it's overnight, but I've been working for a long time for it. And that preparation is absolutely priceless. And then I'm not leaving anything to chance because I prepare so much. And it's like, it's kind of sad to me when you know, we were kind of describing like the grass is greener and that whole preparation, like with the job thing, like I prepared for the job longer than I've actually worked at that job. And it's insane to me. But, and then like leaving the military is the similar feeling as leaving this job. Like, you realize that anything's really possible if you do prepare, then you don't dig yourself into this shitty hole where you can't do all those things you described, like pay your taxes, pay your bills and do all those things. But the possibilities are actually freaking endless. And that's like one of the points I try to drive home in this podcast is, yeah, you can do anything you want, but you can't just be a jackass and get out and just think it's going to be easy. Because like, you leave, like you described the military, you have the safety net. Not only are you getting paid on the 1st and the 15th, but you have all these benefits. Like, it's pretty cush and it's really hard to get kicked out, you know?
Yeah. Like, people don't realize how expensive ammunition really is.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I was in the infantry, and so we shot quite often. And, you know, being able to, like, I went to the range and I was like, oh, I'll probably shoot like 500 rounds today. Like, that's kind of a light day on the range for us, you know? And then I was like, oh, 500 rounds of 223. And they're like, all right, that's going to be one kidney, please.
Yes.
And I was just like, whoa, like, all right. So with this amount of money, I could just buy my own press, or I need to buy on bulk, yes, like online or something. Yeah. But
that's what I started.
It was a bit of a wake up call.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, people don't realize all the benefits that go into it, but that's not to discourage anybody, because
absolutely not.
You will face obstacles no matter what you do. And the true mark of somebody is how they use those obstacles to better themselves in the future. There are people who will have things that happen to them and they refuse to either take accountability or to plan for foreseeable obstacles. And their cards will fall where they may. But if you overcome an obstacle, you have to have realistic expectations moving forward. And you have to tell yourself, like, this isn't going to be the only bump in the road.
Yeah.
And there are tons of other people who are working harder, if not just as hard as you are, for the same goals. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what makes me different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to set me apart? You know, there's in my realm in the comedy where I've managed to accrue a decent following in the veteran community, where it's like, all right, well, what sets me apart? And so, you know, I have to be honest with myself and evaluate what my strengths and my weaknesses are, and then apply that to the mission that I'm trying to accomplish. And so a lot of people, like you said, everybody just thinks that there's somebody that's going to offer them a cush six-figure job, yeah, somewhere, you know, like, oh, well, I have all this leadership experience, buddy. So does everybody else.
Yeah.
We have like 400,000, OIFOE vets getting out of the military every year. Like, what makes you different?
Yeah.
And then that's going to do one of two things to someone. That's either going to scare them,
mm-hmm,
because they're immediately realizing how large the arena is, how many other competitors there are, or it's going to excite them. It's going to give them that taste for blood and adrenaline in their mouth and be like, you know what? I can't compete for this. Like, I want this. I'm hungry for it. I want to succeed. And so you typically have those two types of people. You have the adventurous and trepidatious. So you have to decide, am I shy or am I bold? Am I the type of person that needs to be pushed forward or held back?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with either of that. Like, even in Marine Corps doctrine, it says there's a difference between a logistics leader and a tactical leader. And like, we need both.
Yeah.
But being able to be honest with yourself, not everybody's a long ball hitter. Not everybody's a designated hitter. Not everybody, you know, is the quarterback or the starting. Like, so you just have to be honest with yourself set those realistic expectations and do the research to find out where you succeed and then be successful.
Yeah. Doing the research and like, where are you succeeding? You just said, so like, I'm going to take it a different direction, but like being honest with yourself is what I really liked, but I want to go back into some of the struggles that you had. Some of you talked about obstacles. I mean, despite everything you just said, are there any obstacles that like stuck out specifically with you?
Yeah. Investing in the wrong people can be an obstacle.
Okay.
You want to surround yourself with people who are motivated, like-minded, trustworthy, and you know, all those guys who got, you know, and gals who got kicked out for drug use or, you know, for stealing or whatever violation, like they're still floating out there and they still have the pictures on their social media of them in uniform. And, you know, even if they just got away with stuff, like there are going to be so many people out there, they're going to see your light and they're drawn to it like a moth. And all they're going to want to do is suck your energy and siphon off your success. And so making sure that you don't get taken advantage of, because a lot of people I've met in the military are very kind and very generous. They would, you know, they would give somebody their, you know, their last cigarette or their last pair of clean socks, you know, the shirt off their back or whatever the case is. And unfortunately there are people out there who take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And so it's good to be kind. I will never change myself, you know, who I am, regardless of how many times I've been taken advantage of. But you do have to protect yourself, because if you're giving your time or your resources or your money to people who don't deserve it, that's time, energy, you know, money that you could have dedicated to your family or to your future or to people who do deserve it.
Yeah.
Ventures that will prosper you versus things that will make you stumble.
Yeah, that's great advice. I've found just with this podcast that I've struggled with that a lot, because like I said, I expend a lot of my time, a lot of my energy. Could be with my family right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and then sometimes like we talk about those 2-star ratings or something. And then I'm like all upset about that. I'm expending my time on this wrong energy. And then like, maybe I get shitty with them and like, what the hell did they do? They didn't do anything. And I'm over here doing this pro bono. So you have to be really careful about like where you're doing that as well. It's scary, man. It's like, you have to find this, I don't know. I mean, I just released an episode about balance and I used to always say like, you have to find this balance, but it turns out that I don't really have balance. Like I was talking in the episode, like my mom was like, you have to find balance. And it all happened like because I got drunk when I was 14 years old and I was all out of whack and I was all out of balance. And it turns out that I had this like negative balance for these things in my life for doing like crazy dumb shit. And now I've just turned it around and I'm like out of balance still, but like I've teetered to the other side and I'm like going hard on the podcast. I'm going hard with trying to help other people and be a better father and a better husband. So yeah, man, be the people that you're around with is some of the best advice I could possibly ever give somebody, because sometimes I'm not strong enough to do all these things we're talking about. And it's that person. It's my wife. It's my father. It's my mother. It's my friend. That's like, man, you can do it. You know, you can get through this shit and don't listen to all that noise. And that's what helps me.
Yeah. You think about the people that we have in the military that you would consider like the best of the best or the elite, right?
Yeah.
None of them do it by themselves. Yeah. You know, every squad, you know, has multiple people in it. And then in addition to that, there was the people who provide them intelligence or ISR or, you know, the medevac personnel on standby, or there's fire support people on standby. And then, you know, you could go 20 layers into it. Yeah. And it's like, nobody can accomplish anything of significance entirely by themselves. Whether it's to a large degree or to a small degree, it's good to have a solid support network.
Yeah. It's priceless, man. It's going to help you out so much. It's going to help you out so much. So I would think as a comedian, you got to stay on the uppity ups. How do you stay like when it comes to education, like how do you stay on top of your game as I mean, you're going into social media, like that's a dangerous realm. So like when it comes to education, like how do you stay on top, man?
Well, I try to interact with my followers as much as possible. And if they recommend a book or a podcast or whatever the case, I try to make time for that to stay connected, because especially the further removed I get away from, you know, the military, the longer I get out, the more things are going to change. Mm-hmm. And so my philosophy right now is I just found a college girl that I could date and she could keep me hip to all the lingo and the memes and all the happenings and stuff and, you know, keep me young.
Siphoned information from her.
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, I think one of the things that the Marine Corps does the best is the Commandant's reading list. There are some amazing, highly rated books on there with multiple awards and stuff. And you figure that, you know, there's all the jokes and stuff like that, but there are some really cerebral books in there. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, we do a very good job of pushing small unit leadership. Like, I was in E3 and I was leading combat patrols on my second deployment as a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
That's,
wow.
That's, you know, that was not that uncommon back in 2005 and 2007 during the surge. It was, you know, the whole reason there's a Terminal Lance franchise is that because infantry Marines would commonly get out as an E3. And so it's not uncommon for that to have happened. And so to be that young and to be placed in such a position where other people's lives are in your hands, I was, you'll never be prepared enough for what you want to do. Never. You just have to take the leap. But the bit of preparation that I did had came from my senior leadership saying, hey, you should read this book. You should listen to this. You should watch that movie. You should talk to this person and gain their experience. So thinking that you have all the answers is foolhardy.
Yeah.
Being humble enough to acknowledge the fact that you can learn something from every person you interact with. And, you know, there's an old saying in the Good Book that if you rebuke a fool, he will hate you. But if you rebuke or teach a wise man, he will love you for it, because now he is wiser still. And so that is really one of the ways that you can judge somebody's character. If they're wrong, and in a very polite and tactful way, you inform them that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. They're either going to be like, oh, snap, thank you for not, you know, thank you for telling me. Now I'm not wrong anymore. Now I'm not going to look like an asshole.
Yeah.
But if they immediately like jump down your throat, it's like, okay, that's the kind of person that they are, that they're always right. They don't want to be correct. They just want to be right. And that's the difference, you know?
It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Just reaching out to other people and to do exactly what I'm describing. This term that was coined, stand on the shoulders of giants. There are people out there who know, you know, they've forgotten more about leadership or business or marketing than you will ever know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've written books, they've done podcasts. There's a wealth of information out there. Yeah. And all you have to do is take the spaceship of a cell phone that you have in your hand and just click off a Pornhub for 5 minutes and learn something.
Just 5 minutes. But you got to know where to click too. You know what I'm saying? With all that information, you got to know where to click. Sometimes Pornhub makes it easier for you. But like when you get outside of that world, it's kind of hard. Like, that's the issue. Like, there's all this good information out there, but how do I siphon that information?
Yeah. Like, the link comes up and it's like, professor, teach a student a lesson. I'm like, well, that seems like worth my time. I'll learn something from that.
Yeah, man, that's so true. But last thing I wanted to say is, like, it is crazy. 21-year-old leading that kind of situation is insane. And that, like, that changes you. And I know me personally, I wasn't in that kind of position, but I was in similar positions and it forced me to just grow the fuck up. Like, I went from that selfish, crazy teenager to grow the fuck up, because you have to, and other people's lives depend on you. Like you were saying, like 20 layers deep of all these people that depend on each other. And that's the damn truth. So when you throw me into that layer, like you said, there's two ways you're going to go for most things. But for me and for you, it was like, people's lives depend on me and I have to make this happen. And you have, and then like taking advice of people that have done it before and stand on the shoulders of giants is a great, great way to say that, man. I absolutely love that. And I wish it didn't have to come to an end already. I wish we could bullshit for another 30 or 60 minutes, but I've really appreciate it. You got to head off to, sounds like Area 51 you're talking about tonight, huh?
Yep. I'm about to head to the airport. I'm going to hop on a flight out to Las Vegas, and then I'm going to head out to Area 51 and kind of stand at a 90-degree offset.
Yes, please.
And watch the nerds and the other nerds, the Air Force, go at it.
Man, that's I'm going to be eagerly anticipating the results of that.
See, my big fear is that some 19-year-old Air Force kid is going to get nervous and he's going to crack off a negligent discharge and he's going to skip a rock and hit me in the testicle.
Well, you should probably wear a cup.
Well, I mean, if you have any ballistic cups, like...
We can make that. We have the technology and the steady
There's
hands.
There's no time, man. There's no time.
Well, it's, I don't know. You can make the time for things that guard your DSM, so you'll be all right. Well, man, Dan, I can't thank you enough. 100 episodes. Well, we're well over 100 episodes, but 100 guests is massive, and for you to be a part of this, like I said, means a lot. The time out of your day, but I would love for everybody to know how they can find you if they don't know how to do that. So where can they do that?
Well, that space right between being awake and right before falling asleep, that's where you can find me. Just gently kiss you on the forehead, like Tinkerbell.
I like that.
No, but, you can check us out online at Pop Smoke. That's kind of the handle for everything. We have a Facebook page, Snapchat, Twitter, Pop Smoke Official on Instagram. Also, the Smoke Pit Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify. All right,
Dan. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And safe travels. And let me know if you see any aliens or some crazy shit pop off. And good luck to you and your nuts.
Thanks, brother, man.
See ya.